You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hello, and welcome to the Big Blue Big Board Podcast. I am Dan Pizzuta, joined by Chris Flum, and we are here to bring you another episode diving into some NFL draft and college football previews for the week. The Giants, right now, as we talk, are 3-8 after a disappointing loss to the Philadelphia Eagles. This keeps them in the number 5 slot for the draft. Obviously, there's still a lot that can change over the last couple weeks of the season. But right now, they sit at 5th overall. Football Outsiders has them with a 40.6% chance at a top 5 pick. Those are the 5th highest odds. While that's still, you know, below 50%, the team below them is actually Jacksonville, who only has a 25.1% chance. So the Giants are looking good. I don't know if good is the right word to put there for a top 5 pick, but they look likely to land in the top 5. I guess whether that's good or not depends on your perspective, I guess. And they still have a 1.2% chance of the top overall pick. Right now, the favorite there is San Francisco at 45%, Arizona at 29.8%, and then Oakland at 19.5%. So it probably looks like one of those three is going to be the top pick. But the Giants still high up there. And that is, you know, kind of something that has not changed lately. We can say the Giants might have played better a little bit in some games, but even those wins haven't really taken them out from getting a very high pick in this draft. So today we're going to jump back into our positional previews, and we are going to talk about safeties, which should be a position the Giants look very closely at through free agency and the draft. So are you ready to talk some safeties today, Chris?
Kind of, sort of. I should just say the personal policy of mine, I try not to form too many really solid opinions on defensive backs and especially safeties until after the NFL scouting combine. And that's the only position group I hold that for, except maybe edge with the explosive numbers, mostly because of the TV angles make it hard to get a good look at these guys and get a good look at how they move. So I like to be able to watch them in isolation at the combine. But other than that, yeah, I'm ready.
Yeah, so that's one thing we talked about with edge, and that's something I'm definitely big on, is getting those combine numbers and the explosiveness numbers to really see how these guys are going to translate. Safety is something similar, especially if we're talking about guys who are going to be on the back end and potentially as single high safeties, and guys who are going to have some range and cover a bit. There's definitely instincts that go in there, which you can see off the tape. But if the guys are testing slow, that is not going to be a good thing. And yeah, like you said, right now we're looking at cut-ups and things of TV broadcasts while we're looking at these guys. And that is not the greatest way, admittedly, to break down safety play, because for some reason, TV broadcasts still don't believe in putting safeties in the picture, often pre-snap. So you kind of have to guess on what they're doing with how the play ended up. But before we, I guess, get into some specific guys that we might be watching for going forward into this draft season, I think we can take a bit of a look at what the Giants' safety situation is right now and what they might be looking for. So the Giants obviously have Landon Collins at safety, kind of, and there's two reasons for the kind of there. This is the last year of his rookie deal, so he will technically be a free agent. The Giants could easily franchise tag him to keep him for another year. They could re-sign him to a long-term deal, and that would keep him around longer. But also, in the kind of reasoning, he's been playing a little bit more linebacker the past couple weeks, as we're now going into week 13. The past two games, he's played a little more linebacker, and James Betcher was famous for the money backer position, where they moved Deion Buchanan in Arizona, who was a safety, to a more of a linebacker role, and he kind of played a little bit of a hybrid role between the two. I think we've seen Landon Collins kind of shift more into that role over the past couple weeks. So there's a couple of ways the Giants could go about going at safety. They could continue to just use the single high, which they are doing with Curtis Riley, which is not working out. Not because of the single high, but mostly because Curtis Riley is not the type of guy who can handle that position on a play-to-play basis. But they could also, maybe if they do move Collins down to that linebacker, moneybacker role closer to full-time, they could use two safeties and have three safeties on the field at the same time. So you could look at maybe more traditional safeties there if you're going to put more of them on the field, which might not be a bad idea to get smaller and faster against the modern NFL offenses.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the Giants could look for maybe somebody like Adrian Amos, who they'll get a real good look at this week against Chicago. He would not be a bad candidate if they wanted to go with kind of the moving Landon Collins to a money backer or playing like a 3-3-5 type three safety look. But they definitely need to start thinking about candidates for free safety, because I already harped on about the importance of the free safety in our last podcast, so I'm not going to go over that again. But Curtis Riley just ain't getting it.
Riley is definitely interesting because he's not the type of player who should be asked to handle a single high responsibilities of being that center fielder every down. But the Giants don't really have another option, especially if they're going to play Collins in the box more often. But the other thing is, it's very difficult to find someone who can handle a single high responsibilities on just about every play. There are not a lot of game-changing single high safeties. You have the guys you would look at like Earl Thomas, but Earl Thomas is Earl Thomas for a reason, because there aren't other players like him usually. Earl Thomas, by the way, coming off an injury, but will be a free agent. So if the Giants do want to really go big on the single high safety, then you know that's the one place to look. But just in terms of the safety position overall, we're in, I think, a really weird spot in the NFL right now, where there were a bunch of decent ones who were free agents last offseason, and the NFL largely ignored them. Whether we want to think it was because Eric Reed was a free agent and that was part of some whole thing where the safety market was depressed because of that, that's probably a whole other conversation. But there were good safeties out on the market, and NFL teams just kind of ignored them. You had guys like Reed, who's now has been playing pretty well in Carolina. You have a guy like Trey Boston, who was a really good single high safety for the Chargers last year and had to wait a really long time to get signed by Arizona this year, and he was playing real well and then got hurt for a little bit. And then Tyrann Mathieu had to wait a while and only signed a one-year deal with Houston, and he's played really well in his kind of hybrid slot corner nickel safety role. So all three of them, because they only signed one-year deals, are going to be free agents again. So when we look at the overall safety position, it's definitely an interesting spot where the NFL is, where they kind of said the position doesn't matter. But I think if you look at offenses and how the deep passes and these big plays are exploding all over the place, the safety position is definitely important to try to stop them.
Oh, absolutely. It's always been more important than it's been given credit for, but over the last couple of years, it has become vitally important to have a good safety, especially free safety.
Yeah, and someone who can be on that back end to break up some plays, and whether you're playing it too deep with two safeties back or single high, you have to have someone who can react and force deep balls away from being completed. Even if, like, just look at, this isn't a great example because it shouldn't stop an offense, but when the Giants see, like, a cover two look, they just, like, throw their hands up and go, oh god, I guess we can't throw deep anymore. As much as that doesn't make sense, sometimes that's the impact having good safeties in deep coverage has. But I think if we look at the defense James Betcher runs specifically, I think versatility is definitely going to be big. So he took over when a guy like Deion Buchanan was moved to linebacker, but then they had Tyrann Mathieu, who they use as a nickel corner, and then a free safety. They had Antoine Bethea, who they use as more traditional safety, but he played a bunch of single high, and a bunch of those guys were moving around the defense. They could play by the line, they could blitz. James Betcher loves to blitz with defensive backs, and the way the Giants' pass rush has been, they kind of needed that. So I think when you look at who can fit in the Giants defense right now and in James Betcher's scheme, I think you'd like to look at the guys who can do a whole bunch of things. So if we do that and we go into with some of these specific guys who are likely to be in this year's draft class, I think we start with the guy who's at the top of probably every a safety ranking we're going to see, and it's a guy who can do a couple of different things, and that's Deontay Thompson of Alabama.
Oh yeah, and he could be in the running for the Giants pick at, right now, fifth overall. You know, he's got the size that Betcher likes in his defensive backs. I mostly see him listed at 6'2", somewhere around 195. He's got range, he can run, and coming out of that Alabama defense, you know he's well coached and can recognize an offense and do what you need a free safety to do and get to where he needs to be with a good angle and actually hit, or I should say tackle, not just hit.
Right, and he's a guy who has kind of shown he has the instincts. I think the maybe his mental processing a little bit, I think, definitely improved this year, which was his junior season. And if you trust a guy who is learning defensive back under Nick Saban, is not a bad place to have those defensive backs learn. He's a guy who has been asked to do a decent amount. He's played in two deep coverage. He's played a single high role. He's done some man coverage up against the line. He's done a little bit of a blitzing, and he's a guy who can make plays. He has two interceptions this year, five pass breakups, two forced fumbles. So he's a guy who can potentially be all over the field, which is definitely, if you're looking at the modern safety, that's the type of guy you want.
Oh, definitely. And that's something Betcher loves to do, is show one coverage pre-snap and then change to sometimes a completely different coverage post-snap. And having a guy who can play multiple coverage schemes, who can play the single high, who can play a deep half or a third, or come down and play in the slot, that just makes it that much easier to play that style defense, because then the offense doesn't quite know, based on where he is, where he's going to be after the ball is snapped.
Right, and that's how safeties, I think, in the modern game, and especially in a defense like the one Betcher has, where you are going to be a safety, hopefully, next to Landon Collins, that's the type of safety you want to be, but that is not necessarily, you know, an easy guy to get. And it's interesting to see, I guess, when we go back again another year of how the NFL views these guys. There was a guy, Derwin James, who was excellent at this. And he wasn't just versatile. He was incredible at like six different positions on defense. But he slipped to 17th in the draft. So even if a guy like Deontay Thompson is really good, he might not be a guy they're looking for fifth overall. Even if he, you know, his impact on the game would be worth it.
And that's just one of the confusing things about the way front offices are looking at personnel lately.
It's really strange as we talk about this position, because I think it's just something that's going to hang overhead during this entire discussion. And we're definitely going to continue talking about safety through this offseason, because the Giants just can't go in with Curtis Riley as a starting safety in next year. So one way or another, that position is going to have to be improved. But just in terms of guys we're going to continue watching, we'll move along to the next guy, and that is going to be Jaquan Johnson out of Miami.
Yep, he's another kind of just solid do-it-all safety. I mean, if you've got a DB coming out of Miami and you're talking about him reasonably highly, he's going to be pretty good. I mean, that's just – even when Miami's been down, they're generally producing good defensive backs, and Miami happens to be on the way back up. So you know, he's not as big as Thompson. Again, listed, I don't know, about 6'1", 190, which is about average for a free safety. A very productive guy, though. I believe you said you've got the stats on him right in front of you. I don't have them right in front of me, but I do know he's been productive.
So this year wasn't, it was a bit of a step down from last year. He only played in 10 games. He played 13 in his junior season last year when he had a sack, 4 interceptions, 4 pass defense. One of them returned for a touchdown. He had 3 forced fumbles this year, just 1 interception, 2 forced fumbles, no sacks, just 1.5 tackles for loss. But he's still could potentially be one of those guys who is going to make plays. I think he is the type of guy, from what I've seen, and is also a little limited of what I've seen. He can make a play on the ball, but I think he's another guy who likes to play downhill a little more. I mean, he was second on the Miami defense in tackles this season. You don't always want your safety being up there in tackles, because that usually means players got to that level. But in terms of looking at what he did, he was good at making the play once it came to him.
Yeah, and I believe he led their defense in tackles the year before. But as much as he moves around their defense, that's not like somebody playing 20 yards off the line of scrimmage is the one always making the tackle. If he comes down and is in the tackle box and is making the tackle, that's actually kind of something you would like to see, because then he's doing his job. So just moving along a little bit more, personally, I like Taylor Rapp out of Washington, which is another school that's kind of making a name for itself producing DBs lately.
Okay, cool. I think we're going to agree there with Rapp being someone we like. So that's good to see.
For a while, that Washington defense has been fun to watch, and he's a fun guy to watch in that fun defense. It's a smart guy, and which is what you want in a safety. You want somebody who can recognize an offense and get to where he needs to be, which I've said a few times, but it's important. And he comes downhill like a safety and who actually wants to hit and tackle and not just do the old shoulder ram and kind of ole arm tackle as a receiver and running back goes flying by. Personally, I think he could play man or zone. He could do that, come up and play in the slot or play in the deep part of the field. So I think he's got that same kind of versatility.
Yeah, he looks like he is a guy who can move around a little bit. And if we're going to talk about Giants-specific fits, he could be a guy who's doing that. He played a bunch of deep safety. I think it was usually with too deep, but he was also a guy who could charge up. And he was quite a good blitzer. He had 4 sacks on the season. That is quite a lot for a safety. 2 guys we've previously talked about had a combined 0 sacks of this season. So Rapp had 4. He also had 5.5 run stuffs, which is good. He had 2 interceptions. So he is the type of guy who can play all around the field. And that is That is what we want. He's a guy who is a good tackler. He can make those hits. He didn't have a forced fumble this year, but he had a forced fumble in each of the past two seasons. So he is a guy who has been able to make plays on the ball, 7 career interceptions in 3 years. He can blitz, and when you have a guy who has all of those skill sets, that's going to be an asset to a defense.
Yeah, and you know, we can move on to another guy who's got a lot of those kind of versatile assets, Juwan Thornhill from Virginia. He's played safety and corner, which might particularly appeal to the Giants because they seem to very much value a cornerback skill set in their free safety. I remember way back when they had moved Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie from, I suppose technically he was the slot corner, but he moved around to full-time free safety and then cut him, but they made a point of moving him to safety first. And then came Curtis Riley. They tried William Gay at safety. At times they'll move Grant Haley back to a safety role. So they seem to really want that kind of, I suppose, coverage ability back in their free safety position. So Thornhill could intrigue there.
Right. And if you look at how the NFL is going right now with offenses so far ahead of defenses, just in terms of schematics and in terms of sometimes athleticism, just in terms of big play ability, I think the way you counter that is, I think, as kind of random and unreliable as forcing turnovers are, I think that might be the way you combat these offenses, because the way you can stop them is just by taking the ball away. And Thornhill is going to be a guy who is able to do that. He had 5 interceptions this year. He had 4 last year. So in the past 3 years, he's had 12 interceptions at Virginia. He had 6 passes defense this year. He had 12 last year. So he's definitely a guy who can make plays on the ball. And if you have someone who can cover like that and then can make plays on the ball, that might be something that NFL defenses are going to put a more emphasis on as really the one sure way to stop offenses right now. Just trying to play, you know, typical coverage has not been getting the job done.
No, not at all. And defenses probably will want to try to put more of an emphasis on having at least one ball hawk in their defense to really scare offenses, to really stop offenses. Again, just this week, looking ahead to the Bears, Eddie Jackson was named the NFC Defensive Player of the Month, and no player has had as many defensive touchdowns since 2015, or over that same period, and he's only been in the league since 2017. Their defense as a whole leads the league in takeaways, and it just so happens they've got an excellent defense. And again, that just gives your offense that many more opportunities.
Right. And I mean, like I said, turnovers statistically are not something you can rely on, you know, for game to game. They're not, it's not a sticky stat that is really repeatable. It's kind of a luck whether turnovers happen or not. But if you have guys who can increase the chances of turnovers, then I think that
that's gold.
That might really be the way to go. And that's probably going to be Thornhill's strength here. We can move on to one more guy who does have that playmaker ability a little bit, and is another guy who's a little more versatile, and that's going to be Hugo Amadi of Oregon.
Yeah, we won't try his full first name. Hugo is fine right now. He's a little bit of a smaller guy compared to some of the other safeties we've looked at or mentioned. And considering how much the Giants in general and James Betcher, going back to his time at Arizona, has liked larger defensive backs, I'm not sure how much being listed at just 5'9 will impact Amadi in the Giants' estimation and evaluations, but he is that playmaker back there, really quick breaking on routes. He can identify and break routes, break on routes in zone coverage. And I think he also has the feet and hips to maybe play a little bit of slot and actually stick with receivers, running backs. He might be too short to really be able to deal with a tight end, though, which of course is a concern for the Giants.
That would be something they have to figure out. I mean, when you look at Amadi, a lot of his snaps have come kind of playing in the slot and being more, I'm not going to compare him to Tyrann Mathieu, but in the Tyrann Mathieu role, where he's more of a hybrid, slot corner, nickel safety, I think that a lot has been his role in college. He can play deep, which is good, but I think where he does excel is in coverage, and that is obviously going to be a good thing. 3 interceptions this year, 7 pass breakups. He also had 1.5 sacks, so he can be moved around and move up to the line. So he's a guy, though, yeah, he is listed at 5'9", 5'10", but again, that's... I don't think that's a killer if you can play well and you have ball skills. Oh, we see Grant Haley right now is only 5'9 for the Giants. You know, Tyrann Mathieu, as you talk about, is only 5'9. So these are the type of guys who, if they play physical enough and they have the type of aggressiveness that can get them to the ball, being small is not exactly something that's going to be a killer or should disqualify them from playing well against bigger NFL receivers.
No, definitely not, especially if they test out well at the combine and can play bigger than they measure. You know, between their physicality, their movement skills, foot quickness, hip fluidity, that sort of thing, and also just the ability to go up and high point the ball.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, all of those things are going to play a role, and we'll continue to see how that develops. So I think on a lot of lists, those are probably going to be around the top 5 guys, but I know there's one more guy you kind of like who you think we should keep an eye on.
Yeah, we've already mentioned Josh Allen, the linebacker edge out of Kentucky. If you're watching him, watch behind him, Mike Edwards. He's an intriguing guy to me. I think he could be a sleeper, maybe find himself moving up draft boards over the course of the process, or be one of those late round picks who, a day 3 pick who winds up more or less coming out of nowhere, as some people like to say, and carving out a decent role for himself on the defense, maybe even getting into a starting spot. He's not a fantastic athlete, but he's a very smart safety. He doesn't show his hand early in coverage. It's very assignment sound.
Those are the type of things, if you're not going to be a great athlete, if you have the instincts and you're able to process at a high level, those are going to be the type of things that get you going. And that is the type of thing I think that's going to push him through and keep him in the minds of general managers around the league. I mean, he has 7 run stuff, so he can get in the running game and make some plays at the line of scrimmage. He had 6 pass breakups this year, 2 interceptions and a forced fumble. So he's a guy who, again, can make some plays around the ball. And so he's someone to keep an eye on as we go forward. So that is our brief safety breakdown. Obviously, like all these other positions, we are going to dive in more as the college season ends and the NFL season turns into draft season. We're almost there at this point. The college season is almost over. And I mean, for the Giants, it's basically draft season now, even though they have a couple games
left. It has been
left
for a while.
They have a couple games left to play. So this is a championship weekend for college football. A couple of guys who we talked about today are going to be playing. This is going to be posting on Friday, so Friday night, if you're able to listen to this beforehand at 8 o'clock, you got the Pac-12 championship. Washington is hosting Utah, so you can see Taylor Rapp there. Once we get past that, is there any championship games you are going to be more focused on, Chris, this weekend?
Well, obviously the SEC championship, Alabama at Georgia. So then you'll have, well, Alabama, just their whole team, just usual advice, just watch all of them. But specifically to this podcast, you'd have Deontay Thompson to watch. Also, on Georgia, there's safety J.R. Reed. He was, coming into the year, considered possibly the one of the top safeties in the country, but he's taken a step back. He didn't have the year people were really expecting from him. But then again, that's why Eddie Jackson slipped in the draft. He took a step back his final year, and it hurt him. But then he's obviously rebounded in the NFL. So Reed might be a guy to watch as well. And just for the fun of it, Texas at Oklahoma, because Oklahoma's just fun. Hopefully they don't really play defense, but they're fun.
Yeah, and hopefully some concepts offensively that you'll see in the NFL, at least from smart teams. Who knows if that is going to include the Giants or not. Man, I'm just staring at the AAC championship game and UCF, and just, man, a moment of silence for Mackenzie Milton. That, as someone who has probably been more invested in Mackenzie Milton's production, probably outside of the Milton
his family.
Whew, when I saw that injury, that hit me hard. So I'm glad to see he is somewhat recovering. Apparently, it's going to be a long recovery process. The family put out a statement that, like, just during the week, blood flow returned to his leg. So that is a very scary injury. Absolutely hoping for the best for him.
Regardless of football.
Yeah,
yes.
So, and regardless of football, hopefully he has recovery. But if he is able to recover and get back on the field, luckily he's only a junior, so he does have a senior year if he can get back on the field. But obviously, regardless of football, hoping for the best. And luckily, it seems like the surgeons were able to get in there as quickly as possible. And yeah, and save the leg. He is going to need reconstructive knee surgery in the future. So that's not even something they've done yet. So really scary injury, and absolutely hoping for the best for him. But yeah, just, and then, you know, I'll say, just in terms of...
Are you going
to
the Mountain West?
Yeah, I'll probably go there. I mean, luckily, all of these games on Saturday are spread out pretty well. I mean, you have Alabama, Georgia at 4, and then the Mountain West game doesn't start until 7:45. So that's Fresno State and Boise State. We previewed that game a couple weeks ago when that happened in the regular season. They're playing again. That'll be Brett Rippon against a really good Fresno State pass defense. You know, you got Clemson and Pittsburgh if you want to watch that defensive line. And then at 8, also Ohio State, Northwestern. You know, Northwestern's not going to excite really anyone being in that game, but it's a chance to see some of these guys on Ohio State. And if we look at quarterbacks, you know, Dwayne Haskins might be a guy who is going to be looked at as one of the top guys, just because there's not a lot of options. There's a lot of other playmakers all over that team that are going to be worth watching.
Definitely. You know, even without Nick Bosa, Ohio State is pretty stacked. And starting to see Dwayne Haskins get mentioned as a possible draft pick for the Giants, assuming he comes out. He still has eligibility left, so that's not set in stone that he will, but could be worth watching anyway. That might be a better game than Clemson-Pittsburgh. Clemson will probably just savage Pittsburgh.
Ohio State's probably going to do the same to Northwestern, would think. I mean, obviously that Purdue game happened to Ohio State. But luckily, don't let the Mountain West championship game turn you off. If Clemson-Pittsburgh is bad and Northwestern Ohio State is bad, Boise State-Fresno State is not going to be bad. That's probably going to be fun to watch. So that starts at 7:45 when those other two games start at 8. So don't feel like you have to watch the major programs. Boise State and Fresno State are both in the top 25. So it's okay to just watch that game. That's fine.
It should be a good dessert to Alabama-Georgia, which it's the one pretty much everybody, unless they have a rooting interest in one of the schools, is going to care about this weekend.
So we are going to end this show there. You can subscribe to this podcast anywhere you get your podcasts. You can follow Big Blue View on Twitter at Big Blue View. Please read our work at bigblueview.com. Follow Big Blue View on Instagram at big_blue_view. You can follow me on Twitter at Dan Pizzuta. You can follow Chris on Twitter at RaptorMKII. We will be back on Monday breaking down the Giants and Bears game. So thank you guys for listening, and we will talk to you again soon.
My name is Spencer Hall.
My name is Jason Kirk.
My name is Ryan Nanny.
And when we combine, we form the Shutdown Fullcast.
Voltron!
I keep telling you, we're not Voltron.
The Shutdown Fullcast is technically a college football podcast, but it's also a show about
lawn care disasters,
regional grocery stores we love,
Tennessee Batman,
homeowners associations,
Bears and video games.
I mean, there's also some actual football discussion, like about coaches having huge contracts, or coaches making terrible decisions, or coaches saying really stupid things.
Or the NCAA saying really stupid things.
Yeah, there's lots of stupid things in this big, dumb, beautiful sport.
Sometimes we talk about football games.
Allegedly.
If you want to take college football exactly as seriously as it deserves to be taken, come find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever else you listen to podcasts like this one.
The Shutdown Fullcast.
It's not Voltron.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.